Hello, everybody. I am Bill Buckmaster. Welcome to the Buckmaster Show on this Monday, May the 13th, 2013. I hope you had a lovely Mother's Day weekend. We are live here on the Buckmaster Show each weekday, noon to 1 on AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice, Southern Arizona's intelligent voice. And we're streaming our show live at buckmastershow.com and kvoi.com. And we're podcasting the program, again, to my website and TucsonCitizen.com and TucsonSentinel.com also have our podcast. We have got things rolling on this Monday with our Monday Political Face-Off presented by Moe's Fine Framing. Today it's the team of Vince Rabago and John Munger. 30 minutes past the hour, we will talk with an educator whose name is being prominently mentioned as a person who could be Arizona's next superintendent of public instruction. We'll talk with ASU education professor Dr. David Garcia. Then we'll close out the show with a preview of some very fun things to do with the kids and the family at Reed Park Zoo this summer. If you have a question or comment, we invite you to call us on the Buckmaster Show live line 790-2040. We also monitor the Facebook page, Bill Buckmaster, Facebook, parentheses, Buckmaster Show. So if you have a comment or question, you can send it to us via the Facebook. It is time for our Monday Political Face-Off. John Munger is here. John is seated to the right of me. He is a Tucson attorney and former Republican candidate for governor in Arizona in 2010. And Vince Rabago, seated to my left, Democrat candidate for Arizona Attorney General in 2013. The Monday Political Face-Off, sponsored by our friends at Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, family-owned and run since 1985. Moe specializes in custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, picture framing, and hanging services and hanging systems. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing at Fort Lowell and Dodge and at moesgallery.com. Vince and John, how was the weekend?
It was great. You know, I've been up in the mountains riding horses, so it was
very
terrific. Nice.
It was very good celebrating Mother's Day, so a happy Mother's Day to all of those eligible yesterday. And I do want to mention, Bill, I think you said I was a candidate for Attorney General in 2013. That was 2010.
I'm sorry.
So I just want to make sure you don't get your listeners
people,
get excited.
Yeah, maybe they're thinking maybe he's decided to run again. Okay, yeah, it was 2010, not 2013. Vince is not a candidate for Arizona Attorney General. Went by Moe's Gallery on Saturday, picked up a beautiful kind of a 17th century map of the Caribbean, John and Vince, that Moe and his team put together. And I think you know what I'm going to say about the results.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure it's fabulous. Moe does such a great job.
Just really museum quality. And I wanted to give a big shout out to Moe. Congratulations on a great job with the Buckmaster frame. A couple of items on our agenda for the Monday Political Face-Off. One is Arizona Center, the other is national. The governor running out of patience, John and Vince, over her pet Medicaid expansion project. She says she will veto any bills sent to her until she sees some movement on the budget and the Medicaid expansion project. The other issue that I want to address is Benghazi. Is it President Obama's Watergate? The president today dismissed the Benghazi hearings last week as a politically motivated sideshow. Why don't we begin? Let's go local first, the state of Arizona. Vince, the governor is in a bit of a quandary here because she has the lawmakers have, if a bill has been passed, they have to, under the Arizona Constitution, send it over to the governor.
That's correct. And so you have a couple things happening right now. One is just what about these bills that have already been passed and that are gonna, you know, that are sort of waiting for her to take action? And then the second issue is there's certainly a whole bunch of other bills that have not been finalized. It's my understanding there's a number of election-related law bills and other bills that are out there that are just sort of stuck in the mud now. And so she's trying to use her leverage. And I'm surprised it took this long for her to get to that point because I had understood early on that she had suggested that she wasn't going to sign any bills until they presented this issue. And then she started signing bills, signing bills, signing bills. And now, you know, we're past, I guess, are we on 100 days now?
That'll be tomorrow.
Tomorrow.
And that means also it's that the per diem, John, is cut back. So maybe that will make things move a little faster. But getting back with the governor, if the bill is sent over to the governor and she takes no action, there is a period of time. I'm not exactly sure how many days it is, but it will become law if there's no action.
That's my understanding. I'm not certain of that, but I think that's right. I think it's 10 days.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, I think she's got a problem because there's a lot of these bills that have been passed, and if she vetoes them, she's going to look really bad. There's a lot of nonpartisan bills that have been passed, a lot of things that everybody likes that have been passed. And very frankly, you know, to demand, here we are, we're not even really mid-May yet, just barely, and she's demanding a budget. I will tell you, I've been around this a long time. Budgets often don't get passed until June.
Until June 30th.
I
can recall over the last 25 years I've been here covering news in Arizona, I can remember many, many midnight sessions, John and Vince, where actually the lawmakers would stop the clock. In other words, the budget may get passed at 4 or 5 in the morning on July 1st, but technically it would be June 30th.
Well, yeah, and they, you know, the point is that she's jumping the gun a little bit. It's not late in the process yet, and I don't know why she's doing that. But she's obviously trying to do a power play. I've just questioned whether it's going to be successful.
Well, you know, I have a different perspective about whether it's late or not. My understanding is that there are various deadlines at the federal level, and I believe that's probably what's driving the process, that they need to have some sort
Medicaid
of
expansion.
Correct. And so I'm not 100% sure on that, but if that's true, that there are these deadlines mm-hmm. out there, there may be a different time clock that
that's
she's
true.
Operating on.
That's and, true, but you know, that's too bad. if she doesn't get her way, you know, the world doesn't fall apart. That's what the process is about. She can do whatever she wants, but she's not going to make a whole lot of friends doing it this way. This is not the way to negotiate.
And we've talked about this proposed Medicaid expansion. Passions, Vince Urbago, running high on both sides.
Yeah, there are. I think, you know, the issue, what has happened is you've had the Center for Arizona Policy, a very, very conservative group that is focused on abortion and abortion issues and has essentially trying to spread fear amongst the Republican contingency of the legislature, saying that this is going to allow for government funding of abortions. And so that what they're trying to do actually is they're trying to insert a bill or a new version of a bill that they passed last session that got thrown out for being unconstitutional. Regarding funding of abortions. And so what they're doing is they're trying to strong arm that process to get that to be part of this budget bill with the Medicaid expansion. And so what you're having a fear factor amongst Republicans that this is this true? Is this going to be law when it's not? But you're also having a fear factor among the Democratic side saying, well, not all of the Democratic legislature, but some who are saying, I won't vote for it if you're going to tie Planned Parenthood funding to this because it's got nothing to do with that. Ultimately, I know on the House side that Tobin, the leader of the House, is saying, look, let's have these both be different bills, standalone bills. Back to the Medicaid issue on the Senate side, what you have is Andy Biggs, who's acting like a tyrant and won't allow anything to come to a vote. So as I understand it right now, John can correct me if I'm wrong, my understanding is that if it comes from the House, in other words, if the House passes something, then they can get it to the Senate, which will be able to be done in a way to get around, you know, Senate President Andy Biggs, who's you know, acting like a tyrant here. I think there was an editorial even by the Arizona Republic and others, you know, conservatives saying, hey, step out of the way, let it go to a vote. If it goes up or down, that's a different question, but let it go to a vote, and he's just refusing to let it go for a vote.
Yeah, number one, I mean, I think that Biggs is doing exactly what Harry Reid is doing in the U.S. Senate. Harry Reid brings bills to the floor or not, depending solely on what Harry Reid wants to do. I mean, that's what leadership does in any legislative body. The chairman gets to present matters to the floor or not. And I'm not saying it's good or bad, but that's what has been going on in the U.S. Senate, to the point where we haven't had a budget for 4 years because Harry Reid won't bring one to the floor. Now, I don't view the Medicaid issue in the state Senate or the state legislature as being an abortion issue. I view it as being a spending issue. What the Democrats want to do is they want to expand Medicaid, and they want to do that because they want to get these so-called federal dollars coming in to get a match. The problem is we're borrowing the federal dollars from China. And so it's play money. And they're trying to do it on the basis, well, the federal government's going to give us all this money. The federal government doesn't have that money. And there is a movement afoot in the states where the states have finally figured out that they can start to control the federal budget and the federal deficit by refusing to take some of this federal supposedly free money that we borrow. And if they don't do that, then the federal government can't spend it. The federal legislature doesn't seem to have the ability to control it. Certainly the president doesn't. So the states need to step in and say, we're not spending that money. You can't make us spend that money.
Okay. Go ahead, Vince.
Last point on that is just that we're talking about real dollars. We're talking about real health care for Arizonans that need the health care. Not only will we get those federal funds, but if we don't do it, it's going to cost us more, not only in terms of what we have to put out to cover our folks, but in terms of the long-term health care costs by not having health care. Yeah. So it's a smart decision. That's why the governor's backing it. That's why most people in Arizona, including all the health care folks and hospitals across the state, want it. But so it's got nothing to do with fake dollars from the federal government, like John's saying. This is real health care issues. It ought to go forward to a vote.
Yeah, but it's health care. It's a new expansion of the health care system using borrowed money that the federal government doesn't have. It has to print that money. And at some point, Vince, we got to stop. And that's the difference in our philosophies.
All right. We're going to take a break right here on the Buckmaster Show as we push toward 12:17 on this Monday afternoon. Vince Urbago and John Munger will be right back with our Monday Political Face-Off Part 2. Stay with us.
Want the best care for your companion animal? Then Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson is the place for specialty vets for your special pet. With a state-of-the-art, award-winning facility, only the Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson delivers compassionate, comprehensive veterinary emergency and specialty care 24/7 in a wide range of fields. Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson at North La Cunada Drive at West River or online at vscott.com. That's VSCOT.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
Why should you fly out of TIA? Easy. Do the math. First, airfares are extremely competitive, so you won't spend more on your tickets. Second, you'll save at least 4 hours of your precious time, not to mention a bunch of money on gas. Third, covered parking right by the terminal is only $9 a day. And fourth, TIA offers daily nonstop service to many of your favorite destinations. So, what does it all add up to? Easy. Fly TIA. It's the way to go.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soup, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
For more than 40 years, Pima Community College has helped our neighbors realize their dreams, prepare for meaningful employment, improve their quality of life, and build a better community. We haven't done it alone. Your continuing investment in education has made it possible for us to prepare hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans for jobs. Today's PCC students will be tomorrow's firefighters, nurses, police officers, teachers, and small business owners, the backbone of a smart, thriving Tucson and Pima County. Our region has not been immune to the unprecedented economic challenges of the past few years. During this time, PCC has prided itself on offering crucial programs and services at an extremely affordable price. We remain one of Arizona's best education bargains. With your ongoing support, we look forward to embarking on new directions and building new community connections that ensure the people of Pima County will prosper today and in the future. For more information, contact us at 206-4500 or visit us at pima.edu. Pima Community College, developing our community through learning.
Welcome back on the Buckmaster Show Monday Political Face-Off, presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and at moesgallery.com. We strongly suggest if you need any kind of framing work done or work with mirrors, Mo will come out and measure everything, and then he comes out and then he hangs all of the products. So he's the guy, Mo's Gallery and Fine Framing, presenting our Monday Political Face-Off with former Republican candidate for Arizona governor in 2010, John Munger, and Vince Ribago, Democratic candidate for Arizona Attorney General back in 2010. Vince, is this Benghazi, the hearings last week and all of the dust-up, is this like the president today characterized it, a political, I think he called it a political sideshow?
Well, let me say first that anytime any American is killed anywhere, outside of our borders in relation to, some sort of, terrorism attack, that's never a small issue. But what I will say is that it has become a political sideshow and tool for the Republican Party. What's happening is they're trying to use these issues as to the emails and providing information to the public. In other words, what information was made public, what was not, how the talking points are created when you have a rapidly moving issue. Such as what was happening back then when these attacks occurred. And the Republican Party has been using this to fundraise and to also take political shots. Not only they're getting a two-for-one, they get to have a continued political attack against President Obama, trying to say, oh, this is a big giant cover-up. And even Ron Paul came out saying that both sides are just, this is a big sideshow. Uber conservative Ron Paul came out today saying that. And then they're also being able to use this to try to attack Senator Hillary Clinton, because everyone expects that she will be running for president in the 2016 election.
So you don't think it's the president's Watergate?
No, absolutely not. But the thing is, it's not going to stop people like Daryl Issa and others who are like a bulldog on a bone and just trying to whip up this conspiracy theory, which has been totally debunked, and bring up these issues about Hillary Clinton. Like, why didn't you call Hillary Clinton and sort those sorts of issues?
John, does this have legs?
Well, it has legs to a certain extent. I think that we got to stick with what the issues are. The issues are, number one, that we had a U.S. ambassador who complained about lack of security to the State Department, and the State Department did nothing about it. The question is why? Where else is that happening? Why did that happen? Then we had the situation of the attack. Everybody has testified now under oath that they knew it was a terrorist event from day one, had nothing to do, from the first instant, had nothing to do with a video, as the president and his people tried to claim immediately by putting out the fire, by going on national news on five Sunday shows all at once, by putting Susan Rice on. And then the third issue is, why didn't we send in American assets to try and help these people? And the question there is, the last Americans were killed after 7 hours. Now, some people say, well, you couldn't get the troops there in time. That would presume that you knew how long this was going to happen. When something like that happens, Bill, you don't know how long it's going to take. And in fact, it took 7 hours here. Mm-hmm. So somebody decided at the first instant that, well, this will go away before we can get troops in there. How did they know that? And in fact, the troops are now testifying that they could have gotten there.
You know, so that's absolutely false.
Well, I'm sorry, Vince. It's not false. That's what the troops are testifying to. I've heard them testify to
it. And I've also heard former Defense Secretary, Republican Robert Gates, say any suggestion that you could simply scramble troops and fighter jets and get them there in time is a cartoonish view of our military capacity. This is a Secretary of Defense saying that.
He was not Secretary of Defense then, number one.
Yeah, but
number two, there were special ops forces in Tripoli in the same country that the U.S. refused to send just over to Benghazi. They could have gotten in there in an hour or so.
We've got a caller on the Buckmaster Show live line. Bud has been waiting very patiently. Go ahead, Bud. You're with Vince Rabago and John Munger.
Well, on your comment on Benghazi, if you think that President Obama is the first president that ever lied to this nation, I don't think so. Secondly, I wanted to talk about, you were talking about the fiscal economy. China's money is just paper. So is Japan, Germany, all of them. It's just paper, just like the stock market. Change paper back and forth. It's basically just like it was in the 30s. The only time we had a budget that was an actual budget was Dwight D. Eisenhower. Since then, all we've been doing is just passing paper.
All right. Thank you, Bud. He's saying the last real budget we had was back in the Ike years.
Well, he seems to be saying that it's all fine and good because it hasn't been right for a long time. I disagree with all of that. I think that if we've got problems that are that obvious, then we ought to be doing something to fix it. And the fact that other presidents have lied, and they have, doesn't justify the current president lying and doesn't justify doing nothing. If that's as bad off as we are, then we need to fix the problem.
Okay. Vince, real quickly, then I want to go to one more caller here before the face-off.
Look, you know, just a few points, because there was a whole bunch of mishmash of inaccuracies that were stated by John, for example, saying that the administration – well, for example, saying that the administration was only trying to say this was connected only to the videos. And, in fact, those were part of a series of uprisings and demonstrations across the Arab world. So to pretend like that didn't happen is just false. Number two, the other part of it is when President Obama was in the Rose Garden, he specifically talked about this being an act of terror.
No, he didn't.
September, yes, he did. Look it up on the video. I encourage every single listener on your show to look up. Part is on September 13th when he was campaigning in Colorado. He again, and look it up, the text of his remarks are online. President Obama said, with respect to the Benghazi attacks, that we will not allow acts of terror to dissuade American values, and we would bring these folks to justice. Look it up, September 13th.
Okay, Chris is with us on the Buckmaster Show live line. Chris, real quickly, your comment.
Yeah, I'll be quick. Good afternoon, gentlemen.
Hi.
Vince, if you're going to use cheesy terms like uber conservative for Ron Paul, uber liberal Maureen Dowd this morning basically stated everything that John Munger just stated about the Benghazi affair, and you ought to read that. And also, you ought to play a tape of what Obama said at the United Nations. At least a week later, and everything was being blamed on a video. But thank you.
Yeah, and what I would add to that is, you know, one of the reasons, like we're talking about these the talking points – Do you know that one of the reasons that General Petraeus said in his email as to why he didn't like the talking points was because they were taking out so much information, including connections to these videos, because he wanted to be able to talk about that. So that's out there, yet the right-wingers are ignoring
that,
it.
That is
Look it up.
Historical revisionism.
Right.
This gentleman is right.
Look it up.
The president spoke to the United Nations and blamed it all on videos. Never mentioned act of terror.
John Munger and Vince Urbago, thank you. The Monday Political Face-Off presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing at Fort Lowell and Dodge and at moesgallery.com. Our thanks to Mo and his family for really quality service they've been providing in our community since 1985. With SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. In Philadelphia, the jury has spoken. Abortionist Dr. Kermit Gosnell, accused of performing illegal late-term abortions in a filthy clinic, has been found guilty on 3 of 4 counts of first-degree murder stemming from the deaths of infants in his clinic. Gosnell was also convicted of involuntary manslaughter in the overdose death of one of his patients. The 72-year-old Gosnell could face a death sentence. He had faced 263 counts, been found guilty on 242 of them. The verdict comes on day 10 of jury deliberations. President Obama says he will not tolerate political bias at the IRS, vowing to get to the bottom of the agency's admitted targeting of conservative groups during the last election. More details at srnnews.com. Finding the perfect Tucson rental home is now easy thanks to Tucson Rental Homes, which offer high-quality 1-, 2-, and 3-bedroom luxury rental homes with private gated yards in a classic Santa Fe-style architecture. Designed, built, and managed by Tucson Rental Homes, prices start at just $750 a month. Check out our many homes now available at TucsonRentalHomes.com. Westin La Paloma, Tucson's iconic luxury resort and spa, is now better than ever with a $30 million resort rejuvenation that includes all guest rooms, public spaces, meeting rooms, upgraded golf and tennis, and soon a new pool area and enhanced fine dining. And the setting, well, it couldn't be better on 250 acres in the foothills of the Catalinas. Take a look at the rejuvenation at westinlapalomaresort.com.
There are a million people in metropolitan Tucson, and they have a million stories to tell. That's why there is TucsonCitizen.com, the voice of Tucson. Nearly 100 citizen journalists and bloggers, including the Buckmaster Show, report the news and provide perspective, opinion, and information about everything from local politics to the Arizona Wildcats. Visit TucsonCitizen.com today to read what you can't find in traditional media or to contact us to add your voice to the voice of Tucson, TucsonCitizen.com.
Are you a landlord by choice or by force? Experiencing a job transfer and don't know what to do with your current house? Want to move but can't sell your current house? Hello, my name is Ken Adams, co-owner of Rincon Ventures Property Management. Rincon Ventures has a fully automated accounting process, electronic payments, and 24-hour access to your accounts. With some of the lowest rates in Tucson, Rincon Ventures has grown rapidly in this down economy. Let us show you why. Give us a call at 881-2258 right now and experience the difference. Rincon Ventures, where service is a fact, not another empty promise. 881-2258.
Looking for a cool getaway this July? I highly recommend historic Bear Mountain Lodge, just minutes from the picturesque heart of Silver City, New Mexico, only 3.5 hours east of Tucson. Bear Mountain Lodge sits on 178 secluded acres nestled against the immense grandeur of the Gila National Forest. Check out this lovely high country tranquil oasis at BearMountainLodge.com. Vero Amore restaurants are known as the place for authentic wood-fired Neapolitan pizzas, plus delicious pastas, panini, salads, and more. Every flavorful dish is homemade using the finest and freshest local and imported ingredients available. Vero Amore has 2 locations open daily, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events.
Welcome back to the Monday edition of the Buckmaster Show, where it is 12:35 in Tucson, Arizona on KVOI AM 1030. We're joined on the Buckmaster Show live line now from Phoenix by a gentleman who will soon be officially a Democratic candidate for Arizona Superintendent of Public Instruction. He is Dr. David Garcia, now an associate professor in the Mary Lou Fulton Teachers College at ASU. David's professional experience includes extensive work in state and national education policy development and implementation. Prior to his appointment at ASU, he served as the state associate superintendent of public instruction for standards and accountability, Director of Research and Policy for the Arizona Department of Education. He was a research analyst for the state Senate Education Committee and as a peer consultant for the U.S. Department of Education. Dr. Garcia is a decorated Army veteran who is a product of Arizona's public schools. Dr. Garcia, thanks for being with us.
Well, thank you very much for having me. I appreciate it.
Tell me, why do you want to become the first educator to be the state superintendent of public instruction in many years here in Arizona?
Well, actually, you just said the reason perfectly. I think that what we need in this position and what we've been lacking for a long, long time is an educator leading our public schools. And I think that until we have that, we're really not going to have any meaningful, significant change in Arizona.
Many in this state, Dr. Garcia, as you well know, have lost faith in public education. They believe what many supporters of public education call a miracle of a once model for the world that really has fallen on hard times. How do we get public education back on track?
Well, I think that we have to start off by putting the word public back in front of education. More often than not, what you hear right now is education, and I don't think we have in Arizona put enough time into thinking that we're all in this together, that the fate of our public schools today is really important to our future for tomorrow. And one of the things that I'm going to work on extensively is getting us back into a public conversation about schools.
And how do we do that, Dr. Garcia?
Well, I think that we begin, for instance, by remembering that schools are in communities. You mentioned schools coming on hard times. You know, when we as a country in many places and in many social circumstances have also come on hard times. And you can't take the school away from the community or out of the community in which it's in. And successful schools are those that understand their community, that understands the needs and expectations of their community, and I think they're getting schools back into that conversation is extraordinarily important. I think it's also, important to understand that our teachers really are the experts. You and I can talk about getting students college ready, we can talk about international standards, whatever we wanted to, but those who understand how to translate down to a fifth grader, down to a third grader, and down to students' individual needs are the teachers in the classroom.
Dr. David Garcia is with us. He's associate professor up at Arizona State University. He will soon be an official candidate as a Democrat for Arizona Superintendent of Public Instruction. So many people point to charter schools as the answer, but when you look at the share, charter schools, as you well know, Dr. Garcia, are still really the students attending charter schools, still a very small percentage. I think it's something like overall it's 85% of our students are still involved in the public education system, correct?
That's correct. The vast majority of students are still in the public education system. And my perspective, by the way, I'm one of them. My two daughters attend a traditional public school here in Phoenix. And one of the things that I think we need to continue to think about here is that For the majority of those parents, for many, many of those parents, hundreds and thousands of them, they're not in schools where they've been left behind. Their choice is to be in a traditional public school, is to have their students in public education. And I think we need to remind our policymakers of that. A lot of time and energy is spent on trying to get them out on the false assumption that they're trapped for some reason. And I can speak for my family personally. It is our choice, and I think going to the legislature to have them honor that choice in ways that policy should, I think, are really important.
As a parent, why was it your choice for your children?
You know, it was the best school available. One of the things that for them, and that's really important. You know, one of the things you hear a lot in education is policymakers will try to go find the best school, and I don't think that the best school exists on an absolute level. There is, however, the best school for your child, and the school we chose, we believe, is the best for our daughters. Now, is it the best school in absolutely? Probably not, but again, I don't think that exists. You know, what choice can do, and what we have not really unleashed its potential for in Arizona, is it can help set up specialized academic environments so that parents can choose the best schools for their children. But that's not how policymakers have been thinking about choice. Really, the way policymakers have been thinking about choice in Arizona is thinking about them as market competitors. Our policymakers have unleashed what they really want is competitive market forces, which don't work in public education, instead of looking at choice as an opportunity for both traditional public schools and charter schools to provide specialized academic programs so that parents can choose the best school for their child.
How do we get our kids ready to compete on an international level, Dr. Garcia?
I think that is the next wave. I think that really is the next thing that we're going to have to consider in public education. And one thing to think about is we know that on an international level, the world has gotten quicker and faster and smaller, lighter, more flexible. Yet in many ways in public policy, we are going the opposite direction. We're getting more nationalized, bigger, more monolithic, and slower in terms of how we move. I think that one of the things we need to do, the very first thing, is get away from a standardized approach to public education, to education in general, and start thinking about giving specialized opportunities for students. And I'll give you one concrete example. I think that Arizona is uniquely poised to have high schools and to have places where students graduate and they speak three languages. We're a state that's almost bilingual. I think it's very possible to add a third world language. And if I were to get a student ready to be internationally competitive, I wouldn't ask them to pass a national test. I don't think that gets it done. But if they can speak three world languages, that gets them ready to compete internationally.
How would you characterize the current administration of Superintendent Hoopenthal?
You know, I think that the current administration is doing what many states are doing, which is they're complying with the federal requirements. What we in Arizona have done is taken the federal agenda, and implemented it. I had an opportunity as a peer consultant to see states react to No Child Left Behind, and I saw two kinds of states. I saw states that had their own agenda, and they were moving in a clear direction. And those states, when I walked in the door, said, look, we don't want the state, we don't want the feds to mess up with the good things we have going in this state. And then I saw states that didn't have a clear agenda, and the federal agenda became their agenda. And unfortunately, Arizona is one of those latter kinds of states. The problem is we have so many resources, so many things going for us here in Arizona that we can and should take advantage of that really don't conform well to this idea of a large, standardized, nationalized education.
How are you structuring, or how will you be structuring, your campaign for 2014?
Well, Bill, we've got to be clear. It's still not an official campaign yet. I've had so many conversations with people, and people have been so excited about the opportunity for the campaign and really excited about the opportunity to have somebody who understands education in a position to lead public education here in Arizona. We're going to continue working through the summertime on more conversations with Arizonans around the state and getting organized. And come the fall, when our attentions turn back to school again, then we look forward to launching a statewide campaign.
And the decision came from people just telling you that they thought you would be a good candidate, or how did this all come about?
Well, you had mentioned in your introduction that I was associate superintendent for the state. I was director of research and policy. I worked at the state legislature. And for a number of years after leaving the state, folks would sit down with me every couple of years and ask me, hey, you're ready to run for something? You're ready to do something? My lifelong goal is to become a professor. And that takes, especially at a place that's moving as quickly as Arizona State, that takes your full attention. Having accomplished that, I think it's time to get back in, and rather than providing research to policymakers all the time, I'm in a position, unique position now, to connect the dots, to actually move us forward on that agenda, and I'm ready to do it.
Okay, Dr. David Garcia, where could people learn more about you?
Well, I think right now the best place for interested in learning more is to email me at david at dd4az.com.
Okay, Dr. Garcia, thanks for spending a few minutes with us.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Dr. David Garcia, associate professor at the Mary Lou Fulton Teachers College, that is up at Arizona State University, and he is expected to be a Democrat candidate for Arizona Superintendent of Public Instruction. As we push now toward 12:45, coming up next, lots of great activities, fun activities. We'll preview them planned for the kids and family at Reed Park Zoo this summer.
Hi, this is Al Zaragoza, the voice of Culligan Water in Southern Arizona. You know the benefits of soft water, right? Softer laundry, softer skin, hair, and spot-free glasses. And once you have soft water, you can't live without it. But did you know a Culligan high-efficiency water softener saves up to 46% on water, salt, and energy compared to a time clock water softener? Now that's efficient. A Culligan high-efficiency water softener really is the world's most efficient water softener. So put it to work in your home and start saving today. It virtually ends hard water spotting throughout your entire home, from your glasses to the shower doors. In fact, it makes all your high-efficiency appliances work better and last longer too, like your dishwasher and washing machine, even your water heater. A Culligan high-efficiency water softener delivers real soft water and real savings. Call Culligan Water at 792-9700. 792-9700. Culligan, better water, pure and simple.
The nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Organization, Tucson Wildlife Center, is in the midst of a capital campaign to build Arizona's first state-of-the-art hospital for wildlife. The facility will help staff and volunteers care for nearly 1,000 raptors and mammals it receives each year at its Far East Side facility. To donate online, go to TucsonWildlife.com. For more information about wildlife rescue, visit the website or call 290-WILD.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
If you love antiques like I do, I strongly suggest a visit to Adobe House Antiques, specializing in early 20th century European and American Western art. They also have a fantastic selection of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell. Adobe House Antiques, 325-9439. That's 325-9439.
Come in, sit down. You must be Megan and Mark. I'm Sharon, your wedding planner.
Hello.
Hi.
So, are you planning a large wedding?
150 guests.
Okay, then. Fairly large. Let me just get online and we can look at some venues.
Wow. Is that dial-up?
You bet. Oh, they keep trying to sell me fast internet, but come on, faster internet. I need that like I need a color monitor. Oh, now, I assume you'll be videotaping your ceremony. Oh, just ignore that. The machine will pick it up.
Your technology says a lot about your business. Cox Business Internet Professional offers speeds 10 times faster than basic DSL. Cox Business also gives you local support 24/7, free online backup and security. Bundle business internet starter and phone for only $95 per month. Switch to Cox Business today and make your business our business. Visit coxbusiness.com. Offer valid until July 1st, 2013. Prices exclude taxes and other fees and may be subject to minimum service requirements. Speed comparison based on maximum download speed of Cox Business Internet Professional 15 megabits per second versus basic DSL 1.5 megabits per second. Other restrictions apply.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show on this Monday afternoon. This portion of our program presented by Silver City, Grant County, New Mexico, which is hosting the 18th annual Silver City Blues Festival Memorial Day weekend. This is going to be a big deal, May 24th, 25th, and 26th in Silver City, New Mexico, just 3.5 hours east of Tucson. If you like the blues, this is the place for you to be over Memorial Day weekend. Plenty of really good places to stay, including Lake Roberts Motel, Spirit Canyon Lodge, Agave Ridge Retreat, and Cottage of Whispering Canyon. You can find out more on their fine website, southwestnewmexico.org. Well, there are a lot of great activities coming up at the Reed Park Zoo, Tucson Zoo. It's a great place for family and kids year-round, but especially in summer when they have many activities planned. Kristen Metzger is the Reed Park Zoo Education Supervisor, and she is with me in studio. Kristen, how are you?
I'm doing great, Bill. Thanks for having me today.
Well, it's good to have you, and folks may have read about the water issues. There was a couple of days that you really didn't have water at the zoo.
It's true. We had a very large water main break. It was located directly under an animal exhibit, and so we had to excavate and fix that water line. And in the meantime, we didn't have any running water in the zoo for almost 2 solid days.
How did you get the water to the animals?
Well, our zookeepers had to bring buckets of water in from outside. It was very difficult. They did an amazing job of making sure the animals had plenty of water. And we had to let everybody in for free because we didn't have working restroom facilities for a while there either.
Well, the issues have been resolved.
Yes.
And we want to point out today is also a very important day for the zoo because your new website is up.
Yes, we are very excited. We've just put our new website live. It's at reedparkzoo.org. And the new website doesn't quite redirect from our existing one yet, but it should by the end of the day. We encourage everyone to check it out. It's got all kinds of terrific photography. It's much more simple and easy to use, and we're really excited about a lot of the interactive features on that website.
And for those who have not been to Tucson Zoo, give us an overview of the animal-oriented property here in Southern Arizona.
Sure. Reed Park Zoo is a 24-acre zoo. We feature over 400 exotic animals from around the world. It's a small zoo, but it's lush and green, and it's right in the middle of Reed Park. It's a terrific destination for families, particularly young kids who want to be able to get up close to the animals, not walk hundreds of miles in a day. It's manageable. We've got our brand new Expedition Tanzania elephant exhibit that just opened a year ago that is even for someone who worked on it, I just think it's amazing, and I hope everyone can make it in to check it out. If you haven't been to the zoo this year, you have to come see it.
Yeah, and two new projects are online, coming online soon. They're exciting.
They are. We are planning to renovate two of our existing exhibits. One, our former polar bear exhibit is being remodeled right now to make room for brown bears, which is a species we have not had in Tucson before. We're going to be working with wildlife officials to relocate bears that are problem bears in the wild that come into public campgrounds or have problems, or orphaned bears. We're not sure what we're going to get yet, but we should find that out hopefully by this fall. And then we're also renovating our former mandrill exhibit for black and white ruffed lemurs,
those are so neat.
They're wonderful.
From
they're
Madagascar.
A critically endangered species from Madagascar, and we'll be participating in a breeding program with them.
Kristen Metzger is with us, Reed Park Zoo Education Supervisor. If you've not been to the zoo, I strongly suggest you check it out. It's a very nice property, as Kristen points out. It is a rather small property, but that can have its advantages. You can really take your time and see everything.
That's right.
What's this I do at the zoo? That I was we're looking right now on your the reconstituted website for Reed Park Zoo. Folks can actually do a wedding out there.
They can. We've had wedding fairs at the zoo in the spring. That was one of the big events that we had. It was featured all kinds of opportunities for brides who want or couples who want to get married at the zoo. We've been doing lots of private rentals and weddings. We had a proposal in the zoo last weekend. It is a pretty great place, a unique place place to host your own private event, and that's something you can find all about on our website at reedparkzoo.org.
How about some of these summer activities, including brew at the zoo for those who love different varieties of beer? You're going to have some fun on Saturday, June 15th at 6 o'clock.
Yes, we are partnering with Craft Tucson for our very first ever brew at the zoo, and the proceeds from that event will go towards that brown bear exhibit that I was talking about earlier. And there'll be beer sampling of craft beer. There'll be music and activities. It's an event that we are very excited about. The tickets are $30 for members and $40 for non-members. In advance, there is a $10 increase at the door. We also have a reduced price for designated drivers. It's going to be a 21 and over event that we think is going to be so much fun. So we encourage you to come to the very first and hopefully the first of many brew at the zoo on June 15th.
Local people are always looking for something to do during our hot summer months. Summer safari nights, this sounds great, starting Friday, I guess, May 24th.
Correct.
And is that going to continue then? This is a great activity for the whole family every Friday night through the summer, is it?
It goes until July 12th.
Oh, okay.
So every Friday night from 5:30 to 8 p.m., we will be reopening the zoo for summer safari, and that will allow people to enjoy the zoo when it's a little bit cooler out. We'll have activities, and some of our live demonstration animals will be out, and it'll just be a really nice sort of evening activity on Friday nights from May 24th to July 12th.
Kristen, what about families? The kids are out of school here very soon. What kind of activities do you have for kids?
We have an amazing summer camp series. Our Zoo Caper Camp for kids entering grades 1 through 6. We do different camps for different grade levels. We still have space left in most of the camps. We have a couple that are sold out, but a full list of the camps can be found on our website. And we do all kinds of great behind-the-scenes activities with the kids. They get to do things at the zoo that nobody else gets to because we spend 5 full days with the kids during the camp. And it is action-packed.
Is that a Monday through Friday then?
It is. Each camp runs
camp
Monday
week.
Through Friday, mm-hmm. and we start a new session. Kids can sign up for multiple weeks, but we do the same programming for each age group throughout the summer. It's been very successful.
Another event that caught my eye, the Teddy Bear Clinic. That's coming up Saturday, June 29th, Saturday morning at 9 a.m.
That's a great event. That is an event that is free with regular admission to the zoo, so we don't charge extra for that. And we encourage kids to bring in their teddy bears or stuffed animals, and we have lots of different stations set up so that they can learn what it's like to be a veterinarian and do a checkup on their very own stuffed animal.
Cute.
Yep. So we teach about how we take care of animals at the zoo, but also let kids do fun, you know, fake bandaging and stethoscopes and all kinds of fun things with their teddy bears.
We mentioned it is a smaller zoo there, but 400 animals is a lot of responsibility. And one thing that I have learned through the years interviewing people from Reed Park Zoo, I have to tell you that you and your colleagues are a really dedicated bunch of people who really believe in animal welfare.
It's true. I've worked at the zoo for very close to 15 years, and I've always been impressed at the care that our zookeepers provide for our animals. I think it's a great place to work, and I really feel as though the staff is supportive of each other and has all the best interests of our animals in mind. And they'll do anything. They'll jump through any hoop to make sure that the animals are active and engaged and very, very well taken care of.
Are there discounts for groups, or how does that work?
We do have a group discount program. The details of that, probably best place to look for those are on the new website at reedparkzoo.org. But if you have a larger group, we do have discounts available depending on whether you want to come into the zoo during the public hours or rent the zoo for an after-hours event. We have all of that information on our website.
We just celebrated Mother's Day yesterday, Father's Day just around the corner.
We do free admission for mothers and fathers on those days where if they're accompanied by a paying child, they get to come into the zoo for free. So it's a fun day, a nice way to spend some time with a parent and to see the zoo and get a little bit of a discount there too.
Okay, Kristen Metzger, thank you very much. Reed Park Zoo's education supervisor. Again, the website reedparkzoo.org.
That's correct.
Thank you, Kristen.
Thank you
for coming
in.
We'll look forward to talking with you again sometime. Bottled water on the Buckmaster Show, provided by our friends at Culligan. All of our in-studio guests are provided with a bottle of Culligan water. Everyone likes the arrangement. The guests, I haven't had a complaint yet. I mean, the bottled water is good. It simply tastes better. Culligan water with a variety of products available, water treatment products for your home or business. Coming up this afternoon, it's the John C. Scott Show from 3 to 5 here on KVOI The Voice. And coming up tomorrow morning, Chris and Joe with the Wake Up Tucson Show. And then our lead interview tomorrow, we'll get the latest on what's going on up at the legislature on this Medicaid expansion. Representative Bruce Wheeler will be our lead interview, and also we'll have our Every Other Tuesday Arts Report, now presented by the Fox Tucson Theater. Stay with us. We'll be back tomorrow at 12:04 on The Buckmaster Show. Have a great afternoon.
Intelligent Talk 24/7, AM 1030, KVOI, Cortero, Tucson. On the web at KVOI.com.